Hello, hello, hello. I am so relieved to be here. About 40 minutes ago, I was on another call and my internet went down. So I was able to get on that on my cell phone. It was a Zoom call, but I wasn't leading it, fortunately. I was following it. And then I'm like, how do I do a case study call on my cell phone? Like, I have cases and screen to share. And I, you know, I'm like texting Annette and Lisa, like, are you around? Can you help me? What's going on? And finally, it came back. So I'm here. I'm excited. And we had a lot of cases submitted this time. You know, there were like five or six cases. Usually we can only get through three. You know, I just can't, I can't manage to handle more than three full cases. And I've pulled them all up, but I don't know how complicated. Sometimes they're simple and we could just do them quickly. So I'm excited to be here and glad to have you all here. And for those of you who it's your first case study call, you're in for a treat, because these are basically where you guys submit your cases and I just go through them. Now I have studied your cases in advance. I'm just really going through to see where is this person at? And what would be your next steps and some ideas of things you could ask them, tests you could run, you know, those sorts of things to see where we're at. And I'll give you a few guidelines as I see them. One of the guidelines is when you submit lab tests, don't send me the Quest. You could send it to me in addition, but don't just send me the Quest or the LabCorp or whatever, because I don't read those. I mean, I put them into my spreadsheet or I put them into ODX. I don't have all my ranges, you know, my functional ranges memorized. Lots of them I do, obviously, because repetition breeds memorization, but I love to see them on the spreadsheet because then I can see my patterns, right? And that's what I want you guys to all learn to do. You have two options. You have the, you have my master tracker, which is an amazing sheet to just a spreadsheet. You just put your stuff in and you can see them over time. And if anybody doesn't know where that is, I'll show you where to find it. The ODX is in a little bit of flux right now. I'm meeting with Dr. Weatherby tomorrow. There were some issues where people weren't being taken off when they were supposed to be and all that. And they're like, hey, we didn't give you this as a permanent forever. So people are supposed to try this out while they're students so that then when they graduate and move on and they put their real clients in, that they will be customers of ours, right? People do things for reasons. They don't just do it from the, if you're a business, you don't just do things from the generosity of your heart. You do things from being a good and caring business, but also with the idea that it's going to help you to grow yours. So I'm going to try to smooth out some rough feathers tomorrow and make sure that we can get everybody back on track for that. So they haven't allowed us to add any new people to the mix at this point. So keeping my fingers crossed that we can get that all straightened out and get you in there very quickly. So let's get started. So I had, like I said, six actually case studies. So I'm going to read through the ones that I know we can get through. Five. Christina, Darcy, and Patty were the first three. So is Christina here? There you are. Yay. Okay. Christina, I didn't see Darcy, but hopefully she is here somewhere. Darcy, I'm looking in her. I don't see Darcy. All right. So we'll go in the order of people that are here. And then, so it'll be Christina. If Darcy comes in, we'll get her in. And if not, we'll go straight to Patty. Okay. All right. So this is your first case study. Yay. And let me share my screen and go back to, so there's a lot of juggling of different things on the screen when we do these. I have the database from yours was number 68, I think. Let's see. Christina, yeah, 68. All right, so I'm going to share my screen. And Christina, here we go. All right, so you should see my screen. And we have you fill out this case study submission, which is very similar to what we would expect or think you can do, maybe not as thorough, but to do for an initial consult type of thing to gather information from people. So here we go. We have you do agreement, because if you don't, then we can't share a screen and then it's not going to be as useful for anybody if nobody could see what's going on. So in this particular case, Christina, be prepared to open up your line because I'll probably ask you lots of questions. So what I try to do with these is share with you some of my thought processes as I'm going through a case that's new to me. I deliberately don't go through the cases in advance. Number one, because I wouldn't have time to spend a few hours in advance of the call to go through all the cases. But two, because I want you to see how my process would be like just being hit with a new person, right? What would I be doing and how would I be thinking? So from this perspective, female, 49 years old, 5'10" and 130 pounds. So I first thing I do look at is, you know, what's the height weight ratio? Is this person underweight, overweight, or perfect? Probably a little on the thin side, would you say? Where's Christina? Because you open up your line. On the thinner side, yeah?
Yes, but I've done your insulin resistance training program. And since then, I'm on the thin side, yes.
Yeah, since then. So you weren't before that?
No, 2 years ago. So yes.
Awesome. Good for you. So this is you. You're a gynecologist, married in a committed relationship, 2 children. Are your children at home with you or are they grown? I don't know if I asked.
But they're like 17 and 18. So they're...
Oh, they're in that age where it's still stressful because you have them at home and right.
Self-reliant, but a headache.
Yep, exactly. I hear you. I usually ask a question on my questionnaires with folks is, what's the status of your children? You know, grown up and on their own, still living with you, whatever. Because it gives you an idea from the start of the stress level of that person where they're at. If they have 2 13-year-olds, you know, you're praying for them because that's a really tough age to be dealing with children, right? Or 2 toddlers. Ah, so surgeries. Okay, so where is your top 3 health concerns? Interestingly enough, a lot of folks, you did a good job of this, but a lot of folks who are more educated when they put in this, they'll put in diagnoses, right? Or they put in what they think is going on. Like, I'm just saying, what's your health concerns? From my perspective, I'm tired, or I have excess weight, or I brain fog, or whatever, because that's really helpful to know. So you said bone loss, lifelong loose stools, organic acid showed high level of phosphoric acid in urine, and nickel and serum interpretation. Okay. And you put in, I'm excited because you gave us a vibrant micronutrient test, and I haven't done very many of those. So that's really good. Right. So the things that she's experiencing are bone loss and stools, lifelong loose stools. Anything else that you're experiencing other than, you know, bone loss and loose stools, fatigue, you got rid of the belly fat. So we're not going to ask about that. You already told me that. Anything else?
No, I think I just wanted to step it a little bit up because I'm wondering if I have some malabsorption and I just want to be my best health, basically.
Absolutely. So. Great. All right. So the organic acid had high phosphoric acid, nickel in serum. Okay. So we'll look at that. We'll look at those labs. So I always ask about, of course, the history, right? Surgeries, hospitalizations, et cetera. So an SI joint, titanium hardware implanted. And sometimes, not always, some sort of hardware implanted, it can be causing a systemic a situation, an imbalance, a toxicity, a stress on the liver, et cetera. Severe SI joint after ski fall, full mouth gum graft for progressive gum recession. Again, when we're looking at the history, what we want to look at is what kind of imbalances might this person have had that contributed? Like somebody say, oh, I'm fine. You know, I had a hysterectomy and I'm perfectly fine. Well, you weren't perfectly fine at one point, right? And what were those imbalances and how might those imbalances still be presenting themselves in your life? So the graphs and, you know, going back to bone loss, right? So bone loss, right? There's something going on in bone metabolism. Right. Thyroid nodules, benign and have been followed. Euthyroid. So TSH is less than 2.5. Have you looked at antibodies and T3, T4 ratios?
Not recently, but Yeah, they have always been normal. I mean, I've seen an endocrinologist and I think it was all done, even I don't recall it right now.
Okay, so I'm just going to step in and say, with all due respect, most endocrinologists don't have a clue what the ideal ranges are. And they'll just look at the lab and say, look, T3 is in the normal range and T4 is in the normal range, not looking at they're at the opposite ends of the normal range, which means that there's a conversion one way or the other issue that we can look at. So that's why I ask. I always like to see those things. I like to see a full thyroid panel. And again, all due respect, but most MDs, endocrinologists, et cetera, they don't run the antibody tests. Yeah. And if they do, they run them once and they go, oh, you're fine. Whereas what they don't understand is when you are in a situation of autoimmune thyroid, that there's a bull, it's all over the place. It's up and down and up and down. Also with TSH, it's great. It's always under 2.5. That sounds pretty stable. I've had people say, well, the doctors just don't understand why my TSH sometimes is 7 and sometimes it's 2. I'm like, did they run antibodies? Because that's the most common cause of erratic TSH would be antibodies. And then with nodules, usually when there's nodules or swelling, that there is some kind of autoimmunity and it may not show on that. So I would usually recommend getting it tested multiple times over the course of a year and a half or 2 years. Normal colonoscopy. So you did a colonoscopy to investigate the loose stools?
Yes. And there was a family history of colon cancer. So I was 49 or 48. I got it just all done. So they saw nothing, literally. And I was like, great. That's not helpful.
That's not helpful, but it's good. I mean, you didn't want to find inflammatory bowel disease or microscopic colitis or you know what I mean? So that's good that anything that's going on to cause the loose stools is probably a functional problem rather than a physiologic problem, which is that's good. Normal DEXA scans. So what made you think about the bone loss other than the gums? Was it just mainly the gums?
No, so the gums where I was, I have no inflammation in my gums. I always had just that, they always told me the bones is going away with that, the gums is retracting. And the other thing that started to worry me, so I felt very weaker and weaker. And I had to take, I felt like my skeleton is getting, like I just felt I'm getting more fragile. It was weird. And then I noted that my watch wristbands, they were metal. I had to take like 2 links out. And that's when I was like, come on, this is weird.
Was that during the time though that you were losing weight?
No, this was before.
Yeah, that's an issue. Yeah.
All before.
Okay. And so you were normal DEXA scan, and you weren't in menopause, older. Okay. So, but you've had better scans. So they said normal, but you don't think it's ideal.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, well, great, it's normal, but something is going on.
Yeah. So one thing that I always recommend to people is to get a functional bone test. There's a couple of ways you could do it. There's something called NTX that most of your labs will run, a new enteleopeptide. And it's basically the turnover. And then the other one is, they changed the name of it recently on Genova. It used to be called OsteoNex. And now it's, some kind of bone resorption. And it basically tests for the indicators for bone breakdown and bone build, right? The osteoclast and osteoblast activity. So that even in a normal DEXA scan, if that's moving in the wrong direction, you want to counsel your patients to start to really look at rebuilding.
I have this pending, actually. I have this, I did order this. So I have that pending, not back yet. Yes, great.
Good. And house renovation was dusty with removal of old bathroom and walls. But these problems preceded that, but that's good to know. But menopause 520, age 48, started age 45, skipping several months and soon separation. Okay, so then at age 48, period's gone. And how old are you now? That was 20. Oh, so you're only a year older than that. Yeah. So they could still come back, as you know, as a gynecologist.
That's it.
But you're close anyway. What was the other thing I was going to mention? The other test that can be helpful in giving you some indicators of bone health would be the Dutch test and looking at the metabolites, the 16-hydroxyestrogen. If that tends to be low, you're at a higher risk of bone loss. And also, just so you know, we have, if you go into the Unstoppable Health site with the Empowered Self-Care, there's a thing called a section on the nutrition page called Eating for Bone Health.
I saw that. Excellent. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
All right. So interventions. Okay. Started diet change after sweet spot. The reason was I felt tired, weak, decreasing exercise tolerance. Stayed with that, lost 14 pounds. That's great. 80% greens and veggies. Best body ever. Yay. So nice to get rid of those love handles. No.
Yeah.
What's ACEs zinc? Is that a brand name?
Oh, no. Yeah, this is just like it's vitamin A, C, E.
Oh, A, C, E. Okay. Got it. And zinc. Okay. Got it.
Zinc. That's kind of what I think. Yeah. That's what I'm taking.
Okay. Good. I didn't know if it was a brand. Berberine, plenty of tests of curiosity, including genetic, APOE3-4, several insulin resistant SNPs. Okay, so the insulin resistant SNPs just tells you that you just need to be more careful than average, right, on your blood sugar, or else you're going to be having spikes. And I have tons of those as well. Whereas some people are just really, they're in a state of insulin resistance because they've been abusive their whole life. And once they shift, they don't have to be quite as careful as we do. I tend to have to be careful with any kind of starches or sugars. And APOE3-4 tells you, you got to be careful with too much saturated fat, keeping the plants high. If you're going to do any animal stuff, stick to things like fish or occasional on the, saturated fat side, but you're better off without, because not only is it risk for cardiac, it's risk for Alzheimer's. Okay, so you did a stool test in 19, high fecal fat, antibodies to gluten, soy milk, so you've stayed off of them.
Yeah.
Even with the bowel issues, seem to have gotten worse again. Okay, so did it get better at first when you went off the gluten? Yes.
It did get better and worse, with all the diet change. And then it got worse again. And then I did the food zoomer with Vibrant Lab. And that's what I send you. And then you'll see all the healthy stuff I've been eating. I have now IgGs again, like the cucumbers and tomatoes and almonds. So I was a little bit like devastated. I'm not sure what to do. That's my question for you.
Yes. So here's my recommendation for... when you have any food sensitivities, you've got to work on leaky gut.
Yeah.
Because the hyperpermeability, if you're hyperpermeable and then you stop eating those foods and you start eating others, they're going to start slipping through the membrane, right? So getting off of gluten and soy and milk, that certainly help, especially gluten, contribute to the lack of assault on the gut membrane, but not necessarily to the healing. So have you done anything in terms of a healing leaky gut protocol?
I've bought some things from your web, what you recommended, but I haven't really started yet because I was kind of, there's so many things and I was a little confused. So I want to know where to start. I have the Cialex and all these things, and I'm certainly working on the stress, reduction. And I know stress certainly brings it on, and I had a new job and, things probably got worse. But yes, I kind of want to know. There are so many things on this IgG list now that it takes so many foods away. So, like the broccoli and the cauliflower.
Let's look at that, because sometimes it gets a little bit extreme and then you're down to 6 foods that you can eat. And then if you're not also cleaning up and healing the gut. So we'll look at that. Usually what I recommend is looking at the list in terms of, usually they give you a red, yellow, red, orange, yellow, and then the green. You can, of course, do the greens, but you have to be, you can be judicious in choosing which of those and like doing a rotation on the others rather than completely eliminating them. Because if you have down to 6 foods in the green and you start eating those on a regular basis within a couple of weeks, you're going to have sensitivity to that.
Yeah, exactly. One thing, so I've started to do the digestive enzymes, and that actually works pretty well. So good. I'm wondering if that's all I kind of need with that, like the diarrhea stops really.
That's certainly a good sign, but what else showed up on the stool test? Did it show up with any parasites or candida or bacteria?
Nothing.
Which test did you do?
So this was the vibe. So that was the Vibrant. The Vibrant Lab was only the IgG. So this was the blood test.
Okay, so okay, the fecal fat though was.
That was the doctor's, was it the doctor's enteral lab? This was 2 years ago.
Okay, so it wasn't, okay. All right, so it might be a good idea to do a more comprehensive stool test, like Genova GIFX is a good one, because it will test for the various functional markers, like your pancreatic elastase and all that, your fecal fats, your short chain fatty acids, inflammatory markers, but also if there's any bacteria, mold, yeast, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it'll do a sensitivity if anything is found. Okay. So that could be a good place to start as well. Okay. I'm going to look at the thing before I make too much. Tuesday, I just started to investigate this. So if you find that when you have the digestive enzymes with a meal, does it go away completely, the loose stools, or just partially?
It sends me rather to constipation, which I enjoy. I just think that's perfectly fine.
Well, constipation meaning like one bowel movement a day or less than that?
One a day is sometimes a little less. So sometimes I have to try to hydrate the digestive enzyme. That's my impression. And certainly since I left away all this broccoli cauliflower thing since 2 weeks, I mean, really, there have not been any loose stools. I'm a little bit shocked.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So I got that. Let's see. Anything else you want to share about for us before I go down here further? No grains, no dairy, trying to control stress. Okay. Okay, so stress is 6. And you have an active gynecology practice right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is it busy? Like, you're just doing gynecology though, no obstetrics?
Right, only gynecology. Yeah, it's busy, it's new, and I'm starting to do the functional medicine. I think the biggest is really my daughter, who's just, you know, we don't have a very good relationship, so it's very stressful.
Mm-hmm. And she's 18?
She's 16. My son
16.
Is
16. Yeah, living at home. Okay. And what got you on the estradiol patch?
My worry about bone loss, and I have a strong family history of osteoporosis. So both my grandparents shriveled away. So when I realized, you know, that's menopause, I started on the estrogen. I have some hot flashes that didn't bother me a lot, but I was just worried about the bone loss.
So I'm going to just step in and, you know, maybe overstep my bounds here, but I will say that estradiol alone concerns me.
Yeah.
Without estriol. Okay. So I would do a Dutch test for sure.
It's pending.
Good. Okay, good. Because you want to look at all the ratios, E1, E2, E3, but also with the 16s, the 4s, the 2s, and just see to make sure, because sometimes you put yourself at higher cancer risk with just the estradiol unopposed with the estriol. And I think it's a really good idea to look at
that. I heard you about this. I send it off. Yes.
Good. Okay, good. Berberine, ginkgo, mag glycinate, a combo pill for AKK. Okay. Strictly sweet spot protocol, still drink green smoothies. Awesome. Toxic exposures. And the house renovation was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's look. You're exercising, you're not getting outdoors very much. Is there a way to improve that?
Yes, there is. That's just, you know, the stress and work. But yes, that's on my list. I can do that. And I enjoy it. It's just
finding the time. I get it. Drinking greens, eating vegetables, no alcohol or very little. I would be careful about alcohol and caffeine just until you get your gut healed. You might be able to do those occasionally later, but they both put stress on the tissue of the gut. They've been shown that caffeine can actually thin the lining. Yeah. So I would just cut those out for now.
What about matcha tea? Is that actually much better, or in the end it's the same?
Well, you know, matcha or green tea do have a lot of antioxidants in them. So I think it's a great transition, and there may be some actual benefit to it for the gut. I mean, really for the liver, there's a lot of benefit, but for the gut, but it's a good interim for sure. But if you're only doing caffeine once a week, it doesn't sound like you have a coffee
No, but I do matcha. I right now I'm decreasing also. It's not like I don't need it. It was nice, but okay.
Yeah, and you can always do mushrooms instead, you know, like some mushroom extracts as a tea or as a drink, and it's very energizing and very adaptogenic without having the downside. None of that. Okay. So it sounds like overall you've really cleaned up.
Yes.
And your sleep, 6 hours or more, you're getting it more. Yeah. So you're 4 times a week. Okay. Yeah. So we can, 8 hours more. Yeah. We can always improve our sleep, right? So it sounds like you're on that, in that path. So that's good. So let's look. I have these open. You were the first one I opened. So yours is over here. There's your Vibrant test. And you did this how often? It was not that long ago. It was just a month ago. All right. High, moderate, and not ordered. Okay. So these are your highs. Things you were eating a fair amount of, I bet. And these are your mediums, moderates. Let's see. And then they go through and teach you like how to eat it and right. Oh, and then the micronutrients. Okay. So what you can do is they don't give you, do they measure the other antibodies or
I don't know. Not on this one. No, they didn't.
Okay. They just do the IgGs. All right. So that's most important, but I like to see IgAs as well. Yeah. Just to see how your mucous membranes are. The Entera Labs, if you did that one, that one's an IgA. Yeah. And where's the cauliflower and, oh, it doesn't look like a lot. Where's your, you said cauliflower and broccoli were on here.
Yeah, broccoli is like the third of the.
Oh, there's cauliflower. Yeah. Okay. All right. And they're in the yellows. Broccoli's. So I would say I would give yourself a good month off of everything that's in the high reactivity.
Okay.
On the stuff that's in the yellow, if you can give yourself a week, okay, that would be great. And then after that, rotate them in. Okay. Like every 3 days you have, you know, you can rotate them in. Okay. And then see, like really monitor when you take out all the reds and you take out the yellows for a week, see and track how your gut is acting, how the stools are, whether they go to constipation, whether they stay in loose, whether it matters whether you take the digestive enzyme. So kind of do a detective work on that.
Okay.
Because you can't get rid of everything, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, you could for a long period of time, but you're losing out on a lot of nutrition if you do.
Yeah, and they use basically like the how the bowels is working as an indicator. So if I rotate whatever in and my bowels have no problems, I can be like, fine, that's a good sign.
Fine, but just don't overdo it. Just do it over time.
Okay.
While you're working on the healing leaky gut, we could talk about that in a minute. Let's look at your micronutrients. Okay. So these are showing iron is high, vitamin A is low. So vitamin A is super important for healing the membrane. So how much A are you taking in that grouping?
So there's actually 10,000 units in there. And I've been doing this for 2 years. So I'm wondering, without that I knew this, so I'm wondering how low was it actually before?
Okay, so let's look here. This one doesn't, it shows IgAs. I don't think this one shows your vitamins. I would recommend that you take your raw data and run it through the genetic detoxification. Geneticdetoxification.com has a whole section on your nutrients. If you have the maybe this does show BCM01. Yeah. Let me see. Control F, BCM. No, it's hard. I'm not seeing it. I don't think it's
stupid. I did that. I mean, I ran them all and I just don't remember.
Ah, here we go. Vitamin A. This one does have vitamin A metabolism, page 45. Okay, let's go down to page 45 and see what your vitamin A metabolism is. So you just may need more because you have a SNP. And it may be that the vitamin A isn't related, right? Okay, it's not on page 45. Here we go. Nope. It said page 45, didn't it? Or did it say 35? Vitamin A here, it's 47. Oops, the index is wrong. That's good to know. Here we go. Yeah, you've got you've got a pretty hosed up vitamin A metabolism SNP picture, right? You've got two homozygouses and you've got five heterozygous, right? You only have one that's normal, right? So this would explain your need for the A. And given that it's showing up on your nutrient test and you've got some leaky gut, you have to up it, right? So
how much can I take? So how much per day is not too much? I was afraid then of toxicity.
I know, yeah, you run the risk. I recommend people when they have an acute situation, like an acute viral situation, to take 100,000 for 3 days, but not more, okay. Right? I think you can, if you're taking 10,000, is it, let's see what the form is. Is it a capsule that you're taking?
Yeah, liquid, mm-hmm. It's a capsule.
It's a capsule, a liquid in the capsule, or it's a liquid?
Yeah. Liquid in the capsule.
So, okay. So it's possible that there is some problem with the digestion and breaking down the capsule to get it in there.
Yeah.
You might try a micellized. Seeking Health has it. And I think yeah. Claire has it. Micellized, which is much easier to digest. It's basically one drop a day. So okay. I would say add an extra drop or two a day of that and see where that goes. Because this is super important for healing your gut. Right. And this is showing the A... In the serum, wait, this is, why are they showing two vitamin A's? Might be in different places that they're looking, but yeah, vitamin A for, oh, here's another one. It's into the red, low A. Oh, I see what they're doing. They're giving you, yeah. Yeah, so you definitely, the vitamin A is super important. And that's the only thing that they're recommending? Or, okay, here's, that's the only thing you found abnormal.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so with the iron, does it match up with your serum? Do you have like elevated iron? Do you have elevated ferritin? Do you have elevated?
It's pending. You know, I thought about it very hard and I think it has to do, I have like a cast iron pan I use all the time. It's not seared well. I never cared about this acidic stuff. I thought it's nonsense. And now I threw it out. I figured maybe it was not nonsense.
It definitely gets absorbed from the iron. It definitely gets absorbed that way. So make sure that none of your vitamins supplementation has iron in it. No. So you're not taking extra. And you also may want to check your water too. I mean, the cast iron pot is probably good, but I had somebody who... if you check your kids and see if they have high iron, right? You yeah. could just do that on a serum test and see, because she had high iron. We couldn't figure out. And then her husband had high iron. They tested their water. They had well water. And yeah. it turned out there was iron in the water.
I have a water filter also since 2 years. So I didn't think so. So
probably not the water. Yeah, it could very well be the pot.
Yes. And the other thing that was this elevated nickel. And I just would like your input. I was thinking first if it's my how is it called, the steel cookingware, the stainless steel that's supposed to, you know, can release nickel, or my high green tea consumption. I googled this and there's, it seems to be that. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, so I think once you identify something that's high, you identify the foods or the exposures and then you reduce them and see what happens.
Yeah,
right. And you can always go back. I think you can just retest just individuals on these, because this.
My question is, well, how long did I wait? So I eliminated all the matcha tea and.
I do 3 months.
3 months and then retest. Okay, good. Yeah. All right. Perfect.
Yeah. They're saying AAEPA is also high. So arachidonic acid, you know, sources, it's either that there is an inflammation and it could be the gut, right? Which the stool test would show you if there's markers of inflammation, or that you're eating too much arachidonic acid, which would be dairy you're not eating, eggs would be another source, and meat. So those are the main sources of arachidonic. If you're eating more fish, you're getting more EPA. If you're doing more seeds and nuts and all, you're going to get more, you're not going to get arachidonic, you're going to get others.
Yeah.
But the other test possibility, maybe do some changes for a few months. The blood spot fatty acids are real easy tests to do. You get the kit, you prick your finger, you send it in, and they'll give you all the ratios of omega 3 and 6.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so the A is in the serum, the white blood cells. Okay, it's just showing you where, what component they're in.
And what is the important one again, the white blood cell one? Or
depends
the...
on the, it depends on the nutrient. I thought this one also tested red blood cells, maybe only for some. Like red blood cell magnesium is better than serum. Serum magnesium is kind of useless. Vitamin A can be okay in the serum. This is white blood cell. So I'm not sure. I think the fat solubles are okay. K is hard to test but the D and the A, you can definitely get a good reading from the serum, and it's saying that that's low, but it's okay in the white blood cells, but that might not be where it lives. It kind of lives in membranes, right? Mucous membranes.
Yeah. And I think my vitamin B6 was like this, a single lung that was kind of elevated. So, well, not there. Okay. Well, I'm not sure about this.
No, B6 is fine.
It looks normal. Okay.
Yeah. They all look fine.
So I'm doing pretty well there basically, right? So
yeah. B12, you'll find out from your organic acid section of your Dutch test whether the MMA is elevated. Methylmalonic acid is more of the
at the end of this report too.
And then the D, a little on the low side. 0.7, it's in millimoles, so I don't know exactly what it is serum wise, but you know, I would check that against your serum.
Okay.
See, I don't know. Oh, 67.8. There we go. Okay. Yeah. 67 is decent, right? A little higher could be good, but it's in a decent range. I like to see it 75 to 85, 90, something like that.
Well, it was kind of 48 before. And then I think 2 days before doing that text, I popped like a 50,000 unit. I was kind of curious how far it would, you know.
It will go fast, but then it will drop fast.
Exactly. So it might not. Okay.
So whatever it was before that, how much were you taking before that?
Just every now and then, 50,000 units.
Every now and then, you know, maybe you take 50,000 once or twice a week.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
And then just go check. It's real easy to pop in and, you know, $30 or $25, you get it tested. Yeah. It's easy. Okay. So questions, I think we covered a lot here. So it sounds like in summary, you're gonna get the Dutch test. You've already got that on order. You're looking at your regular blood work, your CBC, et cetera. Look at your D there too. Keep doing the enzymes.
Yes.
Follow this elimination diet of all the reds for 3 months, all the yellows for a week, and then do some rotations and just keep monitoring your stool. And then, you know, for as far as leaky gut, you know, maybe an IgA. Let's see if this, let me just look at your nutrigenomics again. It might be an IgA issue. It might be, I'm looking at your FUT2.
Yeah.
Did you remember if you had an FUT, where's your gut? Autism. Okay, gut is on page approximately, GI is about 19. It's probably gonna be off by a few pages, but fatty acid, let me see. Yeah, we could spend another whole hour going over this. Sunflower lecithin could be a good addition for the phospholipids, and that helps with the induced FAD. Yeah, so your delta 6 desaturase may not help. You know, you may have to support delta 6 desaturase, FADS2, you're heterozygous, but that helps with the conversion from short chain to long chain omega-3s, and that's important for gut repair. Okay, GI, I'm looking for FUT2. Yeah, so do you take any probiotics?
Yes, sometimes they gave me diarrhea, but I have some, yes. Oh, yeah.
I would stick with just Bifidobacter for a little bit. Okay, the others might give you diarrhea till you get it all worked out. But because of this SNP, your body is not going to be able to feed and grow the Bifidobacter very well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Would you mind? I have also at the end of the Vibrant report, I have organic acids, a test there too. I'm not sure if that's too much for today, but if you could have a brief look, it comes at the very end.
There was a brief. Okay, here we go. Oh, is Vibrant America, Vibrant does organic acids as well.
Yeah. I have the feeling they do many more than the Dutch tests. I'm so confused.
Well, the Dutch only does about like 7. Organic acid tests from Great Plains and Genova do a lot more. This looks like more like that. I'm not familiar with the organization of it, so I'll just kind of give you a general idea. It looks like fat metabolism, carbohydrate metabolism. Some of this is Krebs cycle, energy metabolism. B6, I would say B6 being high is not an issue. It's a water soluble if you were taking it the day. Were you taking it?
Vitamin B complex every,
I'm generally not concerned about a mild elevation in those. It's more when they're low.
Okay.
Erotic, glycerolic. This is actually really good. Amino acid, that one I'm not. Tyrosine. Do you have any issues with motivation, with depression? I know stress is a biggie, right?
I'm a procrastinator. I don't think I'm depressed, but motivation, yeah, maybe.
I'm just thinking about tyrosine. I mean, blah, 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 dopamine.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have any SNPs related to dopamine, you might actually need more B6 than the average person. But if you do the other test, you'll get to see what your SNPs are related to specific nutrients and up them.
And somewhere there's a very high phosphoric acid, and I'm not sure if it's.
Yeah, so I would look at your, because your dietary wise, you don't do soft drinks. Meat has a high level of phosphorus in it. You don't do a lot of meat. Bone breakdown, perhaps.
I was wondering, right? But I mean, if I had the day before, like chicken with chickpeas, could that elevate my phosphoric acid that much?
It could, okay. I mean, absolutely, because this is a urine test. Remember, you're excreting. It's what you're excreting, and you're excreting excessive. So I just watch your phosphorus intake to see if there's any hidden sources of it. It can also be rechecked. You can just do phosphorus in the blood. So if you get your blood back, make sure you check your phosphorus there.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. All right, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But otherwise, it's really, so HVA, I think that... probably dopamine metabolism is what these indicated, and then that homogenic acid. So looking at that pathway, I don't know if they show pictures in here. The other test shows.
So the dopamine, does that have to do with ADHD?
Say it
is
again.
That the one? Is the dopamine metabolism, is this associated with ADHD?
It's associated with ADHD. It's lack of motivation, depression. Yeah, there's a lot of things that it can be motivated with. Yeah,
I had this long time ago. I mean, you know, I'm like,
Look at your, get the other, I don't know how, I don't remember if this test probably does test some of the genetics related to dopamine, but there's more, it's more, let's see, the brain. Okay, there we go, 6. I don't think they do as many as they do in the other test or show as many. You got some dopamine SNPs. That's the dopamine receptors. So I would recommend that you supplement with B6 regularly, P5P 25 to 50 milligrams, and see if that makes a difference. Okay. When we see your Dutch test, we'll be able to see if there's some stuff with the cortisol metabolism. Tyrosine is also important, and the epinephrine, norepinephrine related to adrenal metabolism. There is an herb called macuna that can sometimes help with this. You just want to go slowly, and it actually contains L-DOPA in it.
Okay. So, okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Dr. Rita.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Very good case. Anybody else have questions or comments? I didn't look at the comments to see if you guys were typing in. Nope. Okay, how do I find that again? Oh, there it is. Chat, let me take the chat. There we go. Which test is which? The one we were looking at, the second, the test was the Vibrant America. It was a combination of micronutrients and, it was three tests, right? It was their allergy, their micronutrients, and their organic acid all in one. Yeah, I have to start using Vibrant America more. They're, you know, kind of the new kids on the block, and I've been doing this for 30 years. So I kind of get set in my ways of the tests that I put in. All right. So next we have, is Darcy here? Okay. We'll do Darcy on another call if she's okay. Good. All right. So let's go to Patty. Patty, you there?
Here I am. Hi, Dr.
Here
Marie.
You are. Hi. Okay. Got my permission. Female, 61, 5'3", 120, manager. Okay. Divorced, one child. Okay. So her complaints, hemochromatosis, that's a genetic disorder, right? That we don't really have a lot of control over, other than controlling, you know, what she's eating and making sure that she's balanced in general, right? My brother has hemochromatosis. I'm a carrier for hemochromatosis. When he first got diagnosed, he says, oh man, I got to stop eating so much spinach. And then he laughed, right? I'm like, yeah, but the barbecue and the steaks and the burgers, those are going to give you way more iron than the spinach. But yeah, so he does bloodletting. Is this newly diagnosed, or is she?
Yeah, she was just diagnosed last year with that, because she was starting to have some liver problems. So everything kind of happened from August to December. And so that's kind of her very first, that's what her big concern is, her liver being. And you'll see that she actually had cancer. She's a cancer survivor. And so they were wondering if this might be because of, as well, not only genetic, but also from medication, the chemos that she was having, the stuff she had to do.
Right. So they need to test her to see if she has to be homozygous for it to be purely, you know, and no matter what you do, if you've got the homozygous, it's eventually going to get the buildup. If you're not, and it was caused by chemo, then it could be, there could be things that could be reversible. So that's a good thing to find out.
Yeah, I can tell you I didn't put this one on there, but she had these, it said one copy of C282Y and one copy of H63D, and it just said we're identified. But
I don't know the numbers. I know there's an HFE gene, but I don't remember the numbers. Okay, so one copy of each of those?
Yes.
So she's not homozygous. Okay. All right. So it's certainly, there's going to be some issues there, and supporting her liver is going to be super important. She also has digestive problems. Is that longstanding?
Longstanding, from what I understand. Yeah.
Okay. And then bone health due to chemo from cancer. What kind of cancer did she have?
Breast cancer.
Okay. So just when we start out, whenever we hear somebody has a history of cancer, a lot of people, they like, oh, I had cancer, but I'm fine now, right? But did they work on the underlying cause of the cancer, or did they just do chemo and radiation to get rid of the cancer? And that's a big question to ask people, because it's not the American way to think about that there are things in their diet, lifestyle, exposures, et cetera, that contributed to the cancer. Oh, it's gone. We're good. It's gone. Whereas you want to be working with her on balancing the imbalances that are probably longstanding imbalances that contributed to the cancer, and is contributing to the digestive. Obviously she had digestive issues, right? And there's some issues going on there. Okay, and then the bone health. How old is she again? 61, did you say?
Yes, I think she's 61.
Okay, so, you know, bone health naturally goes down as we age because of the shifts in estrogen. I'm assuming she's postmenopausal. This would be the kind of person where I would love to see a Dutch on, because I want to see what their estrogen metabolites look like to see if that was a contributing factor to cancer. Because if they're still there, she's not out of the woods. If she still has an elevated 4-hydroxy, that has to be worked on. The good news is there's a lot of food components that you can do, even if she's not open to getting that test, or even before she gets the test, to start to shift her in the right direction, right? So cruciferous vegetables, broccoli sprouts, sulforaphane, things like that. But also, you know, it could be other nutrients that are out of balance as well, the B6s and magnesium and other things like that. So the Dutch test would certainly be a good test to do. And that will, the 16 metabolite, the 16 hydroxy metabolite it's carcinogenic in high amounts, but it's also protective against the bone because it's a potent estrogen that protects bone. And so we're looking for the Goldilocks amount, you know, the just right. And I see a lot of folks with that very low. So you could start with looking at the eating for bone health type of approach, right? Get her on a more alkaline diet, get her doing some of those herbs, green smoothies with the herbs in it. And there's a whole bunch of that in that eating for bone health.
Would that affect at all with, I guess I'm trying to figure out like the balances, because I've read some stuff about the hemochromatosis, which you would know more of. With the liver, are there certain herbs and things she shouldn't, I guess I could find that in the bone health, like what she shouldn't be having, which could cause more problems for her liver if she's her on liver,
you know, the things that you can't, mostly can't go wrong. There's not ever, you know, there might be a genetic factor or whatever, but things like milk thistle to support the liver, dandelion, hawthorn. If she has any cardiac or history of cardiac in her family, hawthorn can be good because it does the double, protect the heart and the liver. What's some others? Turmeric, although some folks have very strong oxalate sensitivities. So we're careful about turmeric, but an extract of turmeric, a curcumin extract, can be super helpful. And that can help support the liver. Burdock root, right? Just like buy a burdock root and start cooking with it. It's a good food kind of thing that supports liver health. Artichoke, you know, things like that. So there's a lot you can do to protect and support her liver.
And you'll see down there when you mentioned turmeric extract and oxalate issues, that's interesting when you mentioned that, because she said she seemed like she got really sick after she started taking some supplements of turmeric and extract.
Okay, so she might have an oxalate sensitivity, in which case you can check, and sometimes it's sulfur metabolism and sometimes it's other things, but I would check to see if she does okay with a curcumin extract. And you can get it, Micro Ingredients has a bag. It looks just like turmeric, tastes just like turmeric, but it's the extracted form. It's orange. It got to be careful you don't stain your fingernails and whatnot, but she can start with just a pinch of that. You know, I talk about low and slow. You get the bag, you just take a little pinch, a little pinch, a little pinch, because that could help and that can be protective overall. So she had 4 eye surgeries. What was with her eyes?
I have not, those are great questions. And I still have to ask a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to ask her all the questions yet.
Right. So was it elective eye surgeries, for correcting nearsightedness? Was it cataract surgery? Like all these things give you kind of underlying clues.
Okay.
And what might be, or was it a congenital kind of something that had surgery? Okay. Ankle right. surgery, was that an injury?
Those are great questions. I have not asked specific questions on that yet.
Right. The bilateral mastectomy we know was there. Chemo for 7 months. That's a long time, right? 6 breast revisions. You mean surgery to kind of give her back her?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make sure they're not putting silicone in there. Right. So ask her if she knows what they are. I don't know if it's different. I know it's different for sure, but I don't know if they then plug things up with the same things that people get when they get, you know, augmentation surgery. And then the chemo. Huh? This is something. Oh, that one over there. So if there's there's somebody here to help paint the house. Yeah, so ask her more details about the surgeries. So the real thing I want to get to that you can actually help her right away, and usually people are overlooking, they're looking for fancy supplements, is what's her diet look like, right? So here's effective. So she's on a statin, she's on an antidepressant, so these all are going to kill her liver, right? They're all a CoQ10 with the statins. You've got to be super careful about that. Some people are prone to develop autoimmune diseases from that. She hasn't yet, so that's a good thing. Why is she depressed, right? So we want to look at her food. And exercise, healthy eating, and supplements. So let's see what healthy eating means. Primary doctor. Okay. So do you know what she's eating?
She's kind of taken out all of gluten, but she does try to do gluten-free things. She does a lot of salads. She does do a lot of meats.
Organic or not?
Probably not organic.
Okay, that's again a stress on her liver.
Right? Yeah.
Is going to do meat. It needs to be in smaller quantities, like, you know, that's the condiment size quantities with the vegetables, but also it should all be organic because the buildup of the toxins, the hormones, right? Especially with a history of breast cancer, you know, the hormones in the meat can be very, very problematic. Does she do dairy?
Every once in a while is what she told me.
Yeah. So if she does it every once in a while, then that means that it's probably when she's out, which means it's probably not organic and fermented and all. And if people are going to do dairy and you're clear that they don't have a casein allergy, a lactose intolerance, et cetera, it really should be organic. It should be pastured animals, right? That they're, you know, free range pastured organic, no bovine growth hormone. Bovine growth hormone, again, it's hormonal, right? She has an estrogen sensitive cancer, breast cancer. And you don't want to put her at risk of uterine cancer because if she has genetic tendencies to it, if she has habits that lead to it, just because she doesn't have breasts anymore doesn't mean that she can't have a cancer related to the estrogens. And so that's where the uterus, galactose in the milk, galactose has been shown to be connected to uterine cancer. So that's an important thing. So I tell her, you know, skip the milk, just don't do it. Right. Because most likely if she's doing it when she's out, she's not careful about the quality of it. Does she eat much in the way of vegetables? Does she eat a lot of fruits? Does she eat grains? You know, you think about glycemic index. Cancer feeds on sugar. Cancer cells have 10 times the number of insulin receptors as normal cells. So she's running the risk of another cancer if she doesn't get sugar under control. So you can easily start with her with getting her blood sugar under control.
I was thinking about her. I was actually thinking about your sweet spot program. And so maybe towards the end, you can tell me how I could encourage you to be part of your sweet spot or if I should modify it since I'm just starting with her.
What you could do is you could get her to do this, go to the sweetspotsolution.com and get the program. You have access to the program. And then you could say, look, I'm going to guide you through this and help you. Yeah, she could still come to our calls if she wants to, but if she just has access to the site and you can guide her through, you can be a little bit ahead of her and say, okay, this is what I want you to do here. Here's how I want you to do here. Because if her blood sugars are out of whack, first way to check is looking at her standard blood chemistry, right? Does she have higher than 85 on her blood chemistry for sugar? Did they check A1C? Did they check insulin? So those are things to be looking at.
And I think I sent you those. I downloaded, I think, three of those. I used their master tracker, which was awesome. Good. It kind of showed some things. So hopefully that would help us.
Here we go. It's right here. Oh, wow. You put in a lot.
I did. That was hard work.
It's a lot of work to do it for that long. It looks like it's now in the 90s. It looks like it was lower. It creeped up. It got in the 90s. We skipped a little bit of time. Last year, it was 89, creeping up. Okay. Let's see if she has. Mostly they don't do A1C unless they're already diabetic. So
I think there was one A1C in there.
An A1C. Do you remember what it was? Oh, I can't get this to scroll. Why won't it scroll? Oh, I know. It wants me to open it with Google Sheets. There we go.
Yeah.
He's just in a view mode. So the glucose is on glance. Don't look bad. Nobody would say, oh, this person has some issues with her glucose. Wow. Okay, there it goes. I was going to say, that's kind of weird. All right. There we go. She's a little on the acidic side. You can see that running here with the carbon dioxide. Her protein had been low. It looks good now. Globulin is a little bit on the low side. Those are, you know, the immune system globulins. Alk phosphate. So zinc, it's interesting. It looks like she doesn't, not showing sign of liver dysfunction right now. AST is a little high. ALT is on the border. So there is some, but overall alk phosphate back in the day here, whatever those dates were, she had high alkaline phosphatase, these all here, these three, and now it's low. And so it could be an indication that there's some zinc deficiency, which is important for the immune system. But oh my God, look at this. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. This is starting from 20. Okay. This was probably right after she had her chemo and all that. Look at what her liver, her poor liver.
Actually, it was just, no, her cancer, she's been cancer-free for, I think she said for me, 5 years.
Oh, 5 years.
This was just this past year, but that's what she was talking to me. She said it seemed like she started having more problems after she had curcumin. But I said, I don't know about that. If it's just that caused that. Because wow. I think it was July or August she started curcumin. But that was before. See, she didn't start curcumin until August or July.
6, 7, 7. They continued to check it because what made them continue to check? Was this just a routine one, the 629?
It was a routine one.
And they redid it. Because this is all within a 2 month period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. She said she was in a lot of pain. She was just sick to her stomach. She was swelling, and she's this tiny little thing too. And she's tiny. And so she said the joint pain was just about to knock her out.
Did they do an ultrasound to see what was going on the liver?
They did. And they only had mentioned those type of items. I said, let me see if I can tell you, fibrosis. They saw a little bit of scarring on the liver. And that's about all they said, that they just saw a little bit of, and then they kept saying a possible chronic hepatitis. Then they said hemochromatosis. So
her iron is 254 here. Let's see where they tested. Hopefully they tested her ferritin. No thyroid stuff. I would highly recommend that there's some thyroid testing to see if that's involved at all.
Right.
Her blood cells were really low during that period of time. They've come back up a little. Red blood cells, pretty normal. They were low back then, which isn't consistent with hemochromatosis necessarily. Hemoglobin, 11.8, 12.6. So on the low side for hemoglobin. When you see low hemoglobin and high iron, it's oftentimes a B6 problem because you need B6 to take the iron and use it to make hemoglobin. Her hematocrits, I mean, this CBC doesn't look terrible. MCV, definitely a B12 issue here with this B12 folate, probably, not definitely, I'll just say probably, B12 folate issue. Not terrible. Damn likely, don't call me. Monocytes high. That usually indicates a recent infection or a chronic infection. They've been high before, so there may be some sort of chronic, you know, so it's not inconsistent with like a hepatitis or EBV or something like that. Eosinophils, basophils, neutrophils, and lymphs. See, here it shifted. They're both low and the monocytes went up. There's no real pattern here. When I see a pattern of high neutrophils and low lymphocytes, I'm thinking some sort of chronic bacterial thing. High neutrophils, high lymphocytes here. So these are above range. It could have been a viral type of thing like hepatitis or EBV. And that would be, these would be consistent with an acute viral infection. Although white blood cells are low, so it might be a chronic thing that was reactivated. CRP, whoa, that would be a good one to get again because that was super high. A1C was 5. There's no issue there. So it may not be the blood sugar. Whoa, that's why they said hemochromatosis.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, I don't think I've ever seen it that high.
I don't think I ever have either, and I've not been this long.
Holy cow. Yeah, so what did they suggest to do about it, and why didn't they test it again?
That's a good question. That's why she came to me. She said, maybe you can help me.
My gosh. Okay. So K is, what's the date? 8/4, so last August. So that's like 10 months ago. Mm-hmm. Look at those numbers. You don't let that go for 10 months. Well, so they rechecked her in January. I think that's kind of negligent, quite frankly, to not have retested those way out of range numbers. What were they looking for here? You know, her liver enzymes looked better, but.
Yeah, I think they just went straight back to the liver enzyme. And then that just kind of quote unquote confirmed that she had, I guess they were trying to use that to say that she has hemochromatosis. I'm not quite sure.
It doesn't. This could have been a temporary kind of, you know, assault, a toxic assault. There's any number of things. So a number like that needs to be repeated.
Yeah, she does take a lot of supplements. So that's why we were wondering if it wasn't that, because she keeps saying that when she stopped, like this, she said she was just starting her second month of the turmeric. She was doing fine. She said she started the second month of turmeric curcumin. And she said it seemed like it correlated with her like bones hurting. And she said it just everything was just going down the tubes.
Here's what I would recommend here. Even though it possibly could be, I would not try to get her to take it, even in the extracted form. There's a lot of other herbs you can work with her with because of the mental, like she's afraid of it and she might
That's be what she said to me. Right. Yeah.
Right. It might be right. So always like we have to take into account what people are feeling, not just, you know, their specific lab results. But I would say immediately get an iron, a ferritin, get an insulin. So insulin, iron, ferritin. And then her D is low. Is she taking D?
She is, but I don't think she's taking enough. And she's taking, you saw my sup. I don't know if I have, I think I put the supplement page on there, but she's taking one that has, one is all calcium and then D, a little bit of D3. And then she's taking a separate D3 that has 2000 IUs. So she's only getting maybe 4,000 total of vitamin D.
4,000 with D, 25 micrograms, that's nothing.
And you can see the other ones right next to the vitamin, yeah, by 50 kilograms.
Complete omegas. Okay. Yeah, I would, here's what I would recommend just immediately. I mean, follow up other tests. I would do, let me go back here again, Patty. I would do a repeat on, I would certainly do the glucose to see if this was a fluke. That's, you know, I do the glucose insulin. Hemoglobin A1C, just to rule it out. It may not be an issue, but it might be. It might be that the insulin's super high. And the reason her A1C is normal is because it's up, down, up, down. And the average comes out to be 5. So I would get the insulin A1C and glucose. I would get alkaline phosphatase. I just get a liver panel, you know, so don't can that, just a liver panel. It's not to do alkaline phosphatase instead of a liver panel. It's just like a difference of $5. So
you're saying do the liver panel in place of the AFT because the liver panel will cover the AFT.
It'll cover ALT and ALK. Yep. Plus the protein and a couple of other things. So liver panel, the three things for the blood sugar, vitamin D, ferritin, and iron.
Works. And she did tell me that her mom was diabetic. So that's what kind of put me at first. I'm going, huh, that's interesting. Yeah. And so I told her, I said, you know, that's something we really need to watch, even though you've not really necessarily had any problems, but I want to look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hi, how are you doing? Sorry, I'm saying hi to my son. You guys leaving? Mm-hmm. Y'all moved in? Oops, sorry. All right, thanks for stopping by. Have fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry about that. Oops. Okay. So again, the glucose panel, basically. Glucose, A1C, and insulin. Liver panel, vitamin D, and then iron and ferritin. Those are the main ones that I would do. And do them sooner rather than later. See if there's any change between the January and now. See if the insulin is elevated, then the A1C being a 5 and normal is like, it's right. It's because it's probably, she has big up and down, and then that would indicate for sure she should do the sweet spot.
Yeah, because she wants me to get started with her tomorrow on a new, you know, diet routine, what more to look for. So could you give me some suggestions of, should I go looking at the bone one first to help her?
Yeah, so as far as the bone is concerned, yeah, and the D is going to be important for the bone as well. I would look at, there's some really good, just food stuff, just started with the food stuff. Be careful with the supplements if she's on a lot already or if she's had indications, but you might want to look at, see what the liver panel comes back with. If those liver enzymes and the ferritin are still high, she definitely should be doing something like milk thistle or something that's really good anti-inflammatory for the liver. All right. And the C-reactive, do the C-reactive protein also. Holy cow, that C-reactive protein was high. It was 17. So do the C-reactive protein as well. All right. If you want to get her started on food-wise, look at the eating for bone health and look at some of the recipes, but look at some of the herbs and things you can actually do to support good bone health.
Okay.
And yes. then milk thistle. Milk thistle can be done either as a food where you just get the powdered milk thistle extract and stick it in a smoothie, or it can be done as a tincture. The tincture I'm not really crazy about when somebody has a lot of liver stuff because of the alcohol.
Yeah. And that's one thing that she drinks a glass of wine. And I told her, I said, you're going to probably, you need to get off of that. And it's going to be hard for her. So I don't know how she can swap her wine for something else, but somebody would.
I got somebody who loved their glass of wine at the end of the day, and she and her husband would, you know, drink together. And basically, we got them to do Kevita, the low sugar ones, like the lemon cayenne, or there's another one that's kind of pinkish. I forget the name of it, but that would be good too.
I was going to ask you if that was still okay for someone with all that liver. Okay.
Yeah. D is important to take with K for sure.
Yes.
Magnesium, you know, it's just whenever somebody has bone stuff going on, Lee, it's just definitely important to check the magnesium. And so many people are deficient in it. I eat a great diet. I get deficient in magnesium. If I stop taking a supplement for 2 or 3 weeks, I wake up in the middle of the night with leg cramps. I go, okay, I guess I got to do this. I keep thinking those green smoothies and all my good stuff is going to help, but it doesn't necessarily, right? Because soils are depleted, et cetera. And then as far as the conversions, Lee, in this master tracker, let me see, I'll go back to her master tracker. She pulled it out. There's another sheet in the master tracker that says international.
Yes, okay.
All of that in there, and you can convert anything you want in there.
Okay, very good.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Did you have any other labs attached to this?
I thought I had one more, but maybe not.
Really? I did. Here's the one. Okay. That's the one we just made into a, that's for supplement check.
I didn't know if that was, I just kind of wanted to see how much.
Yeah.
But she's only she did tell me.
Taking cyano. I don't think that's a good idea.
Which?
Cobalamin, her B12. I would look at, I would probably safety wise, because you don't know her genetics, go with like a hydroxy or adenosyl.
Hydroxy or adenosyl. Okay.
Calcium. So she's not taking any K with her D.
No, she's doing a calcium instead.
You need the K with the D. I would say the K2 is going to be best.
Right.
Okay.
K2, yeah.
As MK7 is the best form in terms of bone.
MK7.
MK7. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Thank you. And for her, should she be wary of looking at anything with vitamin A in it because of the liver issues right now?
Well, if she has any SNPs, if she has like, about, you know, BCM1, whatever SNPs, she's just going to need it. You just have to be careful about amounts. So it's important for immune system and all that, but 5,000 a day is not going to get her in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go higher than that until you can get more information.
Yeah, low and slow, like you said, yes.
Low and slow, everything's low and slow. Wonderful. Especially niacin, I'm experimenting with my niacin now. I'm kind of feeling flushed. All right, thank you.
Thank you for your time today.
Sure. All right, who else do we have? Did Darcy come on? Okay, what time is it? 2:15, and we started at 1. Oh, wow, we have 15 more minutes. Okay, so we don't really have time to do a full other case. Is Maria here? Maria submitted a case too. Oh, there you are. Okay, Maria, I can pop in on yours, see? I will save the other two for next time. So Maria, let's see. Okay, Maria, you were the last one, I think. There you go. Oh, you had two. I don't know if it was because you submitted it twice or you had a lot of labs. This is Emma. Oh, you had two cases, Emma, and then there's another guy, I think was your other one. Okay, pop on, Maria, say hi. Let's see, do you have a preference? We'll only have time for one. Do you have a preference? Emma or Robert? You're speaking, but we don't hear you. It must be your mic, your thing. I don't hear any background noise either, so. All right, put up your hands and say one if Emma and two if Robert. I don't know if she hears me either. Two? Okay, Robert. All right. Okay, so Robert is 63, 61, 201. Semi-retired, two kids, probably not living with them, although you never know these days. blood pressure, blood sugar, diabetes. Okay, sleep anxiety.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah. Amen, amen. Okay, so let me tell you this. I chose Robert simply because it's shorter. Emma is a very complicated one. I don't think you're going to have time.
Okay, we'll do that today.
Yeah, maybe on the 10th, but I do would like to get your input. So here's the thing about Robert. He's the guy who's got made some good improvements that I mentioned on the side for you, with you. I am concerned a little bit on his kidneys. So he did some retesting recently, and I asked him specifically for certain markers so we could track his progress. We've been working for 3 months together.
Okay.
You know, I would like to keep working with him to work. His doctors have said there is nothing wrong. They are giving all the props to the medication. They don't give a shit, you know, about the improvement he has made otherwise. So it's, you know, they didn't comment on anything else. No, anyway,
So he's on.
He's willing to, I guess, to work on it outside the doctor.
Is he motivated to try to get off the medication? He's also got gout. Allopurinol is for gout. Did he mention?
Yeah, but he doesn't take that much anymore. No, he's. You know, all this is like lower. He barely has any of the gout. He's, this is like as needed. I should have mentioned
way better.
That.
Okay.
The metformin, he is not taking it every day either.
Okay. Okay. So you're
and things
getting
like
into
that.
The point
so,
yeah. Okay. I think that's blood pressure.
Yeah. I put him on a bunch of supplements.
So you've got him on B.
Yes. Which is which his blood pressure has been improving. Yeah. With Hawthorne and also doing some meditation in the morning, some writing in the morning. So we're applying those small little things.
Yeah.
And he tracks it, you know, at least once a day, his medication in the morning and evening. And we've been seeing kind of consistently going down, but it's not down as much as I would like. It's still, you know, has its days, which
is
I'm not
quite
sure. Is
he testing his glucose?
Yeah. He's testing, and he just did he tests at least, a couple times a day. Not, he got tired of breaking his finger. He got a 14.
Yeah, his doctor, has he asked? I mean, it seems like he's diabetic. They could give
No. No, I already went through all that. The doctors, the insurance refused that because he's not a type 1 diabetic.
The insurance won't pay for it.
And so he did the delivery for 2 weeks. Okay. And so he learned quite a bit, and I'm going to be meeting with him tomorrow, I think, to get more details. But I also put him for a week on more liquid diet. He says his blood sugar got to even on the 90s. So nice. He looks like he's responding well to less protein in his diet, less animal protein in his diet. So, and you're going to see here, his homocysteine is still high. Inflammation has decreased quite a bit. C-peptide has
come down consistently. That's nice. A1C is coming down. Excellent.
Yeah.
Average glucose. I mean, that's a big improvement.
Yeah.
Fasting insulin was 8.4. It'd be nice to see if that comes down.
Yeah. I asked them to run. The doctor didn't run, although it was on my list. So, you know, it is.
But they did run C-peptide, which is fine.
Well, yeah. I mean, why would they run one?
Well, C-peptide. So the C-peptide is what's left over when the body takes the previous molecule and converts it to insulin. There's C-peptide. So it gives you a good indication that the insulin is probably still high, but not as much.
Yes.
C-peptide is almost halved what it was before. His homocysteine is way better. ALT-AST ratio, let's look bun. Bun's a little on the high side. So there's some kidney stress. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about his kidneys and I'll be fairly honest with you. I mean, you know, I don't have, I guess, maybe experience enough on addressing more of that specifically, more be aggressive, I guess, in addition to what we're doing.
How much protein does he have? Because protein stresses the kidneys.
Well, that's part of me lowering. So for the last month, we're lowering more and more animal protein. My request is to have once a day max. And we went last week with no animal protein whatsoever. And he got some good results.
Good. Yeah.
So,
yeah, because his EGFR, right? His kidney function has definitely dropped in the last, whatever this is, year and a half. How long?
I know.
Yeah, it's definitely dropped. Let's see. October 19 till now. So it's almost, it's like, you know, a little less than 2 years, like a year and three quarters. Iron ferritin looked okay before, a little bit low on the iron. Cholesterol, I mean, wow, that's low. Is he on cholesterol? I didn't see him. That's low.
I know.
You have problems with sex hormones? Drive, erections? I mean,
that's according to him, no, but he told me that has improved.
Good.
It wasn't bad, but he says that he's having more fun. He's got a girlfriend.
Okay, good.
I know. We talked about that. We talk about his erection in the morning. He says that has actually that improved. That's because he improved his sleep and his stress tremendously. So
this is May. So you didn't test it in May, or his doctor didn't test it in May. So you don't know if it's improved. And you just started working with him probably around that time, February-ish.
Well, right? I gave him a list in May. So of things to work. And I gave him a list. I'm sorry. And February, he went by my list. And the doctors did almost everything that I requested. And then in May, they missed a few, but I didn't want him to spend extra money on labs that, you know, so I just focused on his specific ones.
So the point I'm making, though, is this is the time you worked on him between February and May.
Yes, so this that is it.
Improved, right? All of this stuff that we're seeing off in February could be improved by now. His LDL, HDLs were low, but who knows, they may have come up. Omega-3s are good for that. GLA,
yes.
Evening primrose, and that sort of stuff. Niacin,
yes.
But no, niacin might lower his cholesterol. Never mind. It could be counterintuitive for him. It could raise HDLs, but it can lower the total cholesterol, and he's already low. But this would be good. If he's noticed performance is better, then he may have the higher cholesterol. And the reason I say this, those of you who are not familiar with the steroid pathways, right? So cholesterol leads down into pregnenolone and then all the sex hormones. And if a guy's running around, or a gal either, running around with low cholesterol like that, it's hard to make sex hormones, which is why I asked about erections and, you know, drive and all that kind of
stuff. So what do you think that this low cholesterol could be from?
Yeah. So I don't know what his diet was like. Was he following a low cholesterol diet?
No.
Or low fat diet. And well, medication.
You know, with the animal protein, he was definitely not.
Yeah, but medications can lower it as well. So was he ever on a statin?
No.
But he's on the blood pressure medication and he's on the metformin.
Right.
Yeah. So
I just don't know what could have caused it.
Shortage of the fats, the sterols, plant sterols can sometimes help with that. I think it's probably harder to raise cholesterol than to lower cholesterol, you know, short of the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be good to know what it is now.
I know. I didn't think that was going to be a big deal. Right?
Is he thin?
No, he's not thin. He's not fat. He's, you know, just a few pounds. And he's being more diligent now with weight training from home. So he's building more muscle. He's getting stronger. He's feeling better about that. So that's good. He didn't do any exercise whatsoever besides walking before. So now at least he's engaging in a bit more fun stuff at home.
This could be blood sugar. This could be blood sugar. I don't know.
Yes.
Right. The high triglycerides.
Yes.
High triglycerides with low cholesterol is kind of unusual.
Right.
C-reactive protein looks good. Homocysteine is a little on the high side. So look at B12, folate, B6 status.
Yeah, so he's taking a B-complex. I'm thinking to maybe add some extra on the side of B6 just to up the dose. What do you think about that?
Well, it could be B6. We don't know. Let's look at his MCV. Yeah, his MCV, we don't have it now, but it was. That's so weird that they wouldn't run a CBC. Like, come on, run a CBC. It's borderline on the MCV, so it could be folate or B12 as well with the homocysteine. So we oftentimes give all three. If he's taking like a standard generic B complex that doesn't have the activated forms, you may want to look at that. It may have just pyridoxine hydrochloride instead of P5P, and he may have trouble with the pathways to activate. It looks like he's going in the right direction, but you know, hard to say. B12 doesn't get well absorbed unless it's sublingual, especially as we age because of intrinsic factor and all that. So
maybe the B12 then liquid version,
like a liquid, yeah, a liposomal.
I know that his B had a P5P.
It did have P5P. So it sounds
I'll double check on that. But maybe a little higher, maybe on the side, maybe take an extra every other day.
Slow and slow, right? The only issue you run into is if he has some specific SNPs like the COMTs and some of the things where the dopamine can build up, they can get anxious if you give them methyl. So I would start with like a hydroxy or adenosyl. Adenosyl will give them more energy because it feeds into the mitochondria more directly. And you can get both of those in liquids. And even
for the B12, right?
For the B12, yep.
Okay.
The rest of this, eosinophils were high back in whatever that was, February. So some sort of allergic, it might've been a seasonal allergy type of thing, you know, but that's the part the eosinophils come up when there's an IgE type response.
And
neutrophils, lymphocytes, last time they looked good here, it looked like the neutrophils were a little high, which might be a bacterial thing. Looks like it might've been transient, but again, you know, CBC is like, come on, like anybody should redo anything, they should do a CBC. $25, easy test. You can always justify it.
Yeah, the doctor, you know, when he went in February, the doctor asked for 3 months. So I basically make sure that it says, make sure that at least certain ones, like especially related to his blood sugar, were added in inflammation because they were bigger, you know, more concerns to me. So still they didn't run all of them, but you know, it's just 3 months, yes.
Yeah. I mean, typically if you're going to redo things in 3 months, you redo the things that were abnormal.
Right. And that's what I try to do. Yes. That are more risky for his life.
And risky, right, based on, you know, elevated homocysteine, he has high blood pressure, he has diabetes. You want to run anything that's cardiac related.
Right. So what do you think about the kidneys? Because that's where I'm a little concerned and I have less experience, I guess.
Yeah. So fluids, lots of liquid.
Yeah.
Are important to support the kidneys. There's an herb called juniper berries that's often used by herbalists to support kidney function. You know, he's on blood pressure medication. Now the blood pressure medication might be causing a problem with the kidney, right? So I would say maybe looking at things that are foods that are diuretic to keep the liquids flowing. So parsley and cucumber and celery and things like that could be helpful. Kidney support. You know, cordyceps as a mushroom supports lung function, kidney function, and adrenal function. So that might be helpful. And liquid, you know, sodium, potassium looks good. You know, all of his electrolytes look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what caused that? Did he change medications between?
No, he didn't change medications. Nothing else.
Wait, the EG it was hot. It was between the here and here, not between when you started working with him. The bun did go up.
Yeah.
I mean, really get him to calculate his protein and see if you can keep him within a range, like have him write it down, put him into chronometer, something to see how much he's actually taking. Cause sometimes people are taking way more than they think they.
I know this guy, I swear to God, he doesn't eat a lot. I mean, I'm like, I don't know how he does it. And he's pretty satisfied even on this most liquid diet. I actually don't think that he eats a ton of it. I ask him to track the quality more or less of the quantity, but I will bring to his attention.
Just to see if it's not, and then it's not the protein, right? But sometimes you find that somebody who's, he's 6'1", so he probably needs a fair amount of protein, but, you know, sometimes they're taking 150 grams of protein. That's a lot of protein.
Yeah, right? No, he's definitely not. I mean, he does not eat protein in every meal anymore, and a lot of it has decreased to, you know, actually one meal a day in many days based on what we've been working on the last month. So so you're saying mostly on the liquid and
was he dehydrated before? Was he not drinking enough?
I would say, I don't remember before, to be honest. I do know that we increase his water intake for sure. And he used to do more alcohol before, so the dehydration would come from that.
He doesn't... Well, no, wait. Alcohol is dehydrating.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I heard you. I heard you wrong. Okay, some
of that. So he doesn't drink much of that anymore.
More than daily?
Huh?
Is he drinking every day?
No, he's not. Now he barely drinks it. I mean, on the weekends only, if on the weekends. So I try to tell him, you know, you pick one or two times when you go out, and he controls the amount now of alcohol. So he reduced, he changed practically about everything.
How's his veggie intake?
It could be better. It's a fight still, but he does, you know, he's doing smoothies. He's doing more, you know, salads, stuff that he didn't do before, but he can do better. We review this every time we meet, you know, his journal.
So I keep looking at that. I'm looking at specific foods that support kidney, and I don't think there's any that I didn't mention, but I always like to look things up to see if I'm missing anything.
Yeah.
How much fat does he eat? Because of that low cholesterol, maybe he's not getting enough fat in his diet. Nuts, seeds, avocado.
He does, I want to say he always gets
you know, it mostly gets in the morning, and well, every meal I push him to have the carbs, protein, and fat in some way or another. But I, you know, he does chia seeds, hemp seeds as well, and avocados, and you know, he's doing mostly plant seeds, plant-based fats.
Okay.
Do you think that we may want to increase that? I don't want him to gain weight, actually.
Yeah, you don't want him to gain weight. That's another reason for having him just have him jot it down for 3 days. Just tell him, get this app. It's free. Just pop your numbers in for 3 days. We just want to see if we can optimize.
Okay. Your,
if there's any problem that I see for a kid. But yeah. So just put all the food he's eaten and look at his fat carb ratios. Okay.
Right. Okay. So fluids, and you said the juniper berries, is that what you said?
Juniper berries are possible. Arugula is actually good for supporting
people. Oh, he loves arugula. He just planted arugula. He sent me a picture of it in his own garden.
Oh, good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Arugula would be a good one too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Macadamia nuts are listed as a food for kidney. Give me an excuse for eating macadamia nuts.
Oh man, I pop them like popcorn. Oh, I cannot have them. It's just too good.
You can't have them around. They're too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vitamin B1. I mean, that's the other thing. When you get stuck and you get somebody to a point of plateau, you might want to start looking at more of the nutrients, like that micronutrient kind of test that we just looked at that Christina did.
Oh, I missed that, but
it's not a cheap test. It's like a $300 test, but it's basically, let me see if I still have it up here. It looks like this.
Oh, I bet he would be willing to do that.
Yeah.
I think so. If I tell him, he might consider that.
Yeah. And it'll show you, like, based on the nutrients, what risk you might have. And it gives you an idea of which nutrients are low and high and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it checks
Vibrant America
cells and serum, depending on which ones work best for that particular one. Yeah, Vibrant America micronutrient panel.
And where did she order that from? Directly with them?
She ordered it directly. Probably she's an MD. I don't know that we have it on our site, but I think, let me just see where you can buy it from. I don't think we put it up on our site yet. Let me see if Direct Labs does. Direct Labs has started to run more and more of the, let's see, micronutrient. Here it is. I don't know if they have a list of where you could get it from. So I'm not sure yet. We don't have it on our site. We offer, where do you get it for patients? Let's see if they have a way that you can, or if they're robust, clinically relevant tests. They may be able to find someone who's, I know that, ask Isabel how she gets it, because she set up an account with Vibrant America. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, she might have just, I don't know how she did it, but
is Vibrant America and Vibrant Wellness is the same?
Yes, Vibrant America, Vibrant Wellness. It's the they have the Zoomers and they also have
okay, so that's the same company. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's on my list of things to check into to see how we can. I have all their kits. They sent me all their test kits and we had their, and then I think they canceled our account because we hadn't ordered any tests from them. So I have to reactivate it.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we'll talk to her. Okay. Well, maybe I can would I have to resubmit this if I want the other chick to be reviewed on the 10th?
Oh, no, leave them there. I have them. And I basically, what I do is I have a folder that contains all the new ones and I just drag them out of there once I've done them so that next time you can do it.
Okay. So yeah, there is, I think, a call on the 10th, right? That's an open call for an NAPT.
It's an open call, so that's not one to do a full case.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, we cannot do that.
Questions about somebody, you can ask them there. But these are the calls where I do full cases, and we, you know, because we have, usually I only do two or three. But if you have specific questions, I would go through her case and formulate it. Otherwise, we can wait for the July.
Okay, well, let's put in the July, and I'll be talking to her before that. But maybe we can review that in July then.
Okay, great. Yeah, but come with any questions you have before you meet with her.
Yeah, I will.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, so hopefully this was helpful. Was this good? Yes? No? Some of you who've been your first case study, we do these once a month. We do, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 cases, depending on how complicated they are. I do request that you send them in advance. Like this time we had 5 of them, 2 people didn't show up. So I didn't do theirs. I skipped theirs and I like to have the person on. You can see why, right? Because it'd be very hard for me to just go in a vacuum reviewing a case without really having to be able to talk to practitioner. For those, you're welcome to submit your own as a case. Because then I can actually demonstrate even better how I would progress through because you're there and you're not going to go, well, I haven't asked that. Like Patty, you know, oh yeah, I didn't ask that. I didn't ask that. She has to ask that later. So the goal of these is to give you a starting point. Like what's your next steps? It's not that I'm going to solve your case and give you like, you know, the answers to their prayers all in one fell swoop because it's a process, right? It's a process that we take people through step by step. So you always want to know what's your next steps, right? See, I gave certain tests that you may want to be getting. Health is a journey, right? We always have to stay aware and keep people aware of that. They want us to be their saviors. That's the thing. We all want saviors, don't we? Don't we want somebody to come in and just swoop in and save us from ourselves, from the world? And it doesn't work that way, right? It's a step by step. You basically are testing some things, you get the history, you test in some things, you see how they do, then you do the next level, the next level, the next level, which is why, you know, we recommend packages of sessions with you because you don't solve it all in one session. Those of you who heard Jen speak at our Shine conference and then a couple of weeks later, and some of you did her workshop, it was a matter of, you know, really explaining to people in a way that I'm going to take you through this journey. We're going to uncover the things that nobody's ever uncovered before from just these basic tests. And so there may be tests along the way. You're going to need some support, some help. We might try some things. They may work great and they may not work great. And that's everything that happens is the clue that helps us take you further along. So the more you learn to explain that to them, the less you expect yourself to be like, oh, they paid me money. I should be able to solve them and fix them. That's not the way it works, right? It's always a journey. And Lee, you know that you've been working on yourself for a while. It's complicated and it's layers. It's like that onion, layer after layer after layer, and you figure it out and you help them to take them from one step to the next, to the next. And I like Maria's approach, the way she was talking about it, was giving them small things to work on because I mean, I like to, okay, here's what you need to do and do this before the next time we see each other. And that's not the way people work. That's how I work. So that's how I think expect everybody else to work. It's like, okay, you told me I should have done something. I should have done it yesterday. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it done today, right? Not everybody's like that, right? And we're working with all kinds of people. You will be fortunate to work with some people who are like that, right? They're taking care of everything. I asked one person on a call last week, like, tell me about whatever it was. And she says, oh, on the 23rd, I was this and my pH was this. And on the 22nd, I ate this and my pH was this. Like those are people you love to work with because they're great at record keeping. They understand it. But a lot of people are just overwhelmed, right? And small wins. When you look at somebody, you know, they have to do these 5 things. If you can give them one thing that they can focus on over a week that you feel pretty confident can give them a win of some sort, right? Somebody who's drinking soft drinks every day and having certain issues, or they're, I don't know, eating bread every day, and you get them to just stop eating bread. Sometimes that makes a huge difference. Then they trust you. Small win, trust, and then they're willing to make the next steps. Make sense? Yes? Good? Okay. We'll see you all next week. All right. Take care. Bye, everybody. Open your lines and say goodbye if you'd like.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, folks.
Bye. 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 Really enjoyed it.